Welcome to the Farm CPA Podcast with Top Producer. I'm your host, Paul Niefer. This is a special session of the Farm CPA Podcast. President Biden today and the White House issued what they call the American Families Plan. We've been waiting for this. A couple weeks ago, they had issued the infrastructure plan, which in that case was going to be paid for by an increase in corporate taxes. This is a plan that is designed to help families, and it's going to be paid for via individual income taxes. So let's just go ahead and briefly review some of the benefits, because for families, there are certain benefits. We're just going to go over some of the key ones. The actual plan is available on the White House website, or you can go to agweb.com, and our blog post on this is available there. So the key benefits are that for three-year-olds and four-year-old children, you're now going to have free preschool. This is in conjunction with the states. It's probably going to work similar to the Medicaid program, which likely means if the states are required to participate in this, your taxes are going to go up. It's going to be free for the people that participate in it, but other taxes may go up. Also, community college will now be free for the first 2 years, and there'll be some direct benefits to what we call historically Black colleges and universities, certain tribal colleges, and other institutions that cater, let's say, to Hispanics, Asian Americans, or what they call Native American Pacific Islanders. There's also going to be some massive increases in direct support for childcare. For a lot of lower income families, childcare is a large percentage of their income, and it may prevent them from the second spouse working outside the home. It's designed to, at the maximum rate of your income that's going to go toward childcare for lower income taxpayers is 7%. Plus, in conjunction, they want to make the increase in the child tax credit or child care credit up to that $8,000 for two kids under age 13, $4,000 for kids under one kid under age 13. And then they want to extend the increased child tax credit and earned income tax changes that were recently enacted under the American Rescue Plan. They want to make those permanent until 2025. So I guess not permanent, just extended. And there's various others, but those are some of the major items that are in the plan. Now, how are they going to pay for it? First, they're going to increase the top rate back to the old 39.6%. Not the 37% that's currently there. Also, if you have capital gains, so if you're a farmer and you sell farmland and your gain, including your other income, let's say is over $1 million, that excess over $1 million of capital gains, net income, will be subject to the top rate of 39.6%. On top of it, the net investment income tax, which was brought about as part of Obamacare or the ACA, that extra 3.8% tax, President Biden indicates that there's some loopholes in the tax law that indicates people aren't paying that tax that probably should be paying it. Really, there's no loopholes. It's how the tax law was written, but this is a way for them to dramatically increase taxes and raise revenue. And what this means is, let's say that you're a farmer and you're a successful farmer and you rent ground to your farm operation. So let's say you and your spouse have $500,000 of rental income that's being generated by your farm operation. So you materially participate in that operation. None of that income is subject to the 3.8% tax. Under this proposal, if your income is over $400,000, all of that income would be subject to a 3.8% net investment income tax on top of regular income taxes. That's an extra $19,000 of income, at least in my example. They also indicate that if you have a 1031 exchange, they're going to continue to allow 1031 exchanges, but if your gain is greater than $500,000, then that excess gain is going to be subject to income taxes, capital gains taxes. And if your income's over $1 million, then you're going to be subject to a 43.4% tax rate. And I use an example in our blog post where Jane is desiring to sell a half, or she wants to trade a half section of land. She paid $500,000 for it many years ago. It's now worth $4 million, you know, 320 acres, $4 million. That's not unheard of in the Corn Belt, even out in my area. Matter of fact, that might be on the low end. Under current law, she could exchange that $3.5 million gain into the new land that she wants to buy and not owe a dime of tax. And that's true at the state level and the federal level. However, and then also, if she ends up passing away owning that land, that $3.5 million gain completely disappears. Well, under this proposal, $500,000 would be allowed to roll over into that new land, but she would owe tax on that $3 million of capital gains at the 43.4% rate. That's roughly $1.3 million. Plus, she might owe state income taxes, and let's say we're in a state where it's a 9% rate. That would be another $270,000. So she might owe $1.6 million of taxes, not have any cash, because all she's done is traded one half section, let's say, for another half section, and owe $1.6 million, and she may have to go out and borrow the money to do that transaction. So that's one of the negatives of the plan. You're listening to the Farm CPA podcast. We're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsor.
Get timely updates about taxation, accounting, succession planning, and other issues that are unique to farmers and agribusiness processors. Find out about major agribusiness events and how to comply with new laws that affect your business. Subscribe to Farm CPA at blogs.claconnect.com/agribusiness and experience the CLA promise. blogs.claconnect.com/agribusiness.
Welcome back to the Farm CPA podcast. I'm your host, Paul Niefer. This is a special session of the Farm CPA podcast. President Biden today and the White House issued what they call the American Families Plan. The actual plan is available on the White House website, or you can go to agweb.com, and our blog post on this is available there. So, and the outline that is provided by the White House doesn't dig into the details, but it appears that the step back, and we had previously posted on the step back, and there's a link to that in the blog post I did on AgWeb. It basically incorporates almost all the features of the step back. What it says that they keep touting we're going to eliminate the step up in bases. Well, no, they're not eliminating the step up in bases. Other than on the first $1 million of gain, you'll continue to receive that at death. You'll get that step up. Anything in excess of that $1 million of gain will now be subject to a transfer tax, an income tax. And in that case, your heirs, if they're farming the ground or you have a privately held business and they're involved in the business, then you won't owe that tax. But if it's similar to the step back, you don't owe immediate tax. But if you ever decide to sell that property or you stop farming that property, then likely your heirs are going to owe the tax plus interest, plus state taxes potentially. So that's, again, not enough details on the plan, but the way the plan is written in the document, it's a mirror image of the step back. So we're just in sort of indicating that it appears that the step back may be coming into play. Also, not in the plan, but we've heard it before, they want to eliminate Section 199A deduction, the 20% deduction if your income's over $400,000. There's this new feature that could get very problematic. They're indicating they're now going to require banks to report. It sounds like all transactions. So anytime you have a deposit into your account, it sounds like the bank's going to transmit that information onto the IRS, and then you're going to have to reconcile that on your tax return, which is going to be painful. And the IRS is going to assume that's all income, unless you explain why it's not income. So that I'm not really looking forward to. They talk about eliminating the carried interest break. Not much of that applies to farm. There's no talk about reducing the estate exemption, which will be reduced in 2026 anyway. That's not part of this plan that was released. They are keeping the $10,000 state and local tax limitation in effect. But again, that's scheduled to expire starting in 2026. They also want to permanently extend the excess business loss limitation. I think in previous blogs, we had posted that that was probably coming down the pipeline. It's an easy way for them to raise money. They put income into silos. What does that mean for most farmers? Probably not a lot. But let's say you're a successful farmer and you have a $2 million loss that you incurred on your farm operation this year, but you received $2 million of wage income. Under the old rules with excess business loss, it was assumed that that farm loss would offset the wage income and you wouldn't owe any tax. Well, the CARES Act extended or changed the excess business loss rules and indicated you couldn't offset a business loss against wage income. Now they want to make that permanent, other than you can, if you're married, you can offset $500,000 indexed to inflation. So that's something that you have to be careful of. And I'm just skimming through my blog post here. I think I've covered most of the major, both the major benefits, the major tax changes. Again, this is designed to affect individuals, which most farmers are taxed as individuals. They either have a partnership, they have an S corp, or they have other income as an individual. They may have a C corporation. We know that they're talking about raising the top or the C corp rate from 21 to 28%. That would certainly affect farmers that have income taxed at the C corporation level. And also that would dramatically increase the double tax, not so much at the corporate level, but if you have a C corporation that's got farmland, got other assets, and it's worth $5 or $10 million, which I've seen a lot of C corporations in that level, you're going and you liquidate that C corporation and want to get those assets down to your level. Under current law, the double tax isn't too bad. You have a 21% tax at the corporate level. You have maybe a 20%, 23.8% maximum tax at the individual level because it's a qualified dividend. Now you potentially have a 28% tax at the corporate plus state taxes. And then at the individual level, you're going to owe 43.4% tax minimum on that, assuming your income is going to be over $1 million. So the double tax on corporations may dramatically increase. We had several farmers switch from a C corp to an S corp. That's probably still good under this law. But those farmers that said, hey, I like the 21% bracket and they created C corporations, if all these changes go through, probably not the best step. At that time, it was the best step. Now, maybe not. Again, will this pass? I would say in a normal year, if there is such a thing anymore, that no, this would not pass. But this is not a normal year. We're coming out of a pandemic. We have we have control in Congress by one party that's pushing this agenda. So there's a chance that a lot of this will go through. Remember, there's a lot of benefits for the majority of American families in this plan. Free preschool, basically free childcare, free community college, reduced costs of college education, paid sick leave, paid medical leave, paid family leave. You know, we had that under the CARES Act, but that was temporary. This is now going to be permanent. So we'll see what happens. Again, this is Paul Niefer, your host of the Farm CPA podcast. This was a special podcast just to go over what is the details on the so-called American Families Plan. And we will keep you posted if anything changes. Well, we know this is going to change, but we will keep you posted. Thank you very much.